I want you to turn to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. I want to minister to you about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I believe we're going to just officially start this seminar this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I believe God is already moving, already preparing, already showing Himself mighty and strong. John chapter 15, and or John 14, verse 15. The Lord is speaking here, and we'll read it, like I said, out of the Amplified. He says, if you really love me, notice that, if you really love me, you will keep, obey my commandments. Notice that. The Lord is talking to us, and he said, if you really love me, you'll do more than just lip service. You'll actually live your life for me. If you really love me, you'll take my commandments and obey them. You'll do what I ask you to do. You see, to make Jesus Lord of your life is more than fire insurance to get you to heaven. To make Jesus Lord of your life means you're going to change your life and live your life now in accordance to His will, to His plan, and His purpose. So many people, I believe, have been duped by religion saying, well, come to the altar and repent and ask God to forgive you of your sins and leave it at that. But you see, there's more to Christianity than coming to an altar and getting a little bit of relief from your sins. No, Christianity is you making a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to stop living your way and start living His way. Amen? And so the Lord says, if you really love me, for everybody that really loves me, they will keep and obey my commands. Then he says this to those who love him and desire to live for him. I don't know about you, but whenever I gave my heart to Christ, it was because I desired to live for him. I desired to live a different lifestyle. I desired to live differently than what I was living before Jesus. Amen? Come on. I didn't want to live in sin any longer. Didn't want to live in all the bondage that goes along with sin. Didn't want to live in all the crazy stuff that goes. I didn't want to live that life. I didn't want my direction to be the same. I don't know about you, but I had a knowledge, an insight, a revelation, a realization, even before I gave my life to the Lord, that if I don't change, I will go to a hell that is prepared for the devil and his demons and his fallen angels, and I don't want to go there. Amen. So when I gave my heart to Jesus, I not only changed direction, I changed Lords, and I changed the lifestyle, praise God. I knew if I live in sin, live in disobedience, live according to my flesh, I'm going to go to a devil's hell because that's where all those who reject Christ go. I don't want to go in that direction. I don't like the way I'm living. So, Lord Jesus, you're the answer to that. So I'm giving my life to you. And, Lord Jesus, I choose to live my life in a way that's pleasing to you now, not going to live it for myself. I want to go to heaven. So I change directions. Amen. How many of you know you can't change directions and still live the same way? Because there are two different paths. One path is full of all kinds of sin. The other path is full of God's love and righteousness and His commandments. Praise God. So I chose to do His commandments. And so the Lord says, for those who really love me, who really want to change their lives, who want to obey my commandments and live their life in accordance to me, here's what I'm going to do for you. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that He may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, will come take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know Him. Or recognize Him. But you know and recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. I will come back to you. Hallelujah. Now somebody says, what are you saying here? The Lord is saying that for the believer, there is no reason for you to feel comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. Hallelujah. Why? Because you don't have to live this life in your own strength. You don't have to try to do these commandments in your own ability. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and He'll give you another helper. Hallelujah. Come on. Who is this helper? He's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And He says He'll be with you and in you, praise God. And the Holy Spirit will come and comfort you whenever you need comfort. He'll counsel you when you don't know what to do. He'll help you whenever nobody is around you. He'll intercede with you to help you to find God's plan. He'll be your advocate when you mess up. He'll strengthen you when you're weak, and He'll stand by you when everybody else leaves you alone. Amen? You've got a helper that's been sent from God, the Holy Spirit, and he's come to help us to obey the commandments of God, to live a life that pleases Christ, and to live this new Christianity that God has given to us. Amen? Now look down here in verse 26 of John 14. Continuing to read out of the Amplified, he says, "But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit." There the Lord goes right ahead and declares who this Comforter, Counselor, and right on the line is. He's the Holy Spirit. Now notice this, "whom the Father will send in my name." Notice that the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now this next part you need to grab a hold of. "In my place to represent me and act on my behalf." Woo, glory to God. See, that just bounced off the back wall, went right over your head and hit me right in the face. Somebody get your catcher out this time and catch it. Hallelujah. No, listen to what he's saying. This Holy Spirit, he says, he'll send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act upon my behalf. What is he saying? The Holy Spirit is here in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to act upon his behalf. In other words, the Holy Spirit is here to do for us what Jesus would do personally if he was here with you. Amen? The Holy Spirit's not acting on his own accord. He's the executor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come here to represent Jesus to us. He has come here to act upon the Lord's behalf. In other words, if the Lord wants to do something in your life, he works through the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? If he wants to teach you, Jesus is not going to get off the throne and come down here and take a moment and teach you personally. But what he's going to do is he's going to tell the Holy Spirit what he wants you to get, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach you that. He's going to bring it to you. Amen? He's here to help us. He's here to work with us. He's here to comfort us. He's here to strengthen us. In fact, in verse 26, he goes on and he says this, "He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I've told you." Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, you and I have a personal tutor. You and I have a personal aide. You and I have a personal teacher. You and I have someone that's always with us to remind us of God's will in our lives. Amen? John wrote in 1 John 2:20 and said, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Hallelujah. What's the unction? That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit operating in you, showing you the truth and showing you everything God has for you. Listen to me, folks. You and I need to learn to walk in the Spirit and listen to the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God, because Christianity was never meant for us to just struggle through life trying to get it done in our own strength. Christianity was to be brought out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of God, saved, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and then, praise God, Jesus said, "I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another helper, one just like me, and when he comes, he'll come in my name, he'll come in my place, he'll act upon my behalf, and he'll teach you everything you need to be taught, he'll guide you everywhere you need to go, he'll unction you and anoint you so you can know the truth, and he will be here operating in my behalf for you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to get aware of the Spirit of God operating in our lives. Amen. We need to function in these things and operate in these things. Praise God. Now look over in John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. See, we need to get introduced to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you can't operate in the things of the Spirit until you know the one who has those things. Amen. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this. You can't know what's in a store until you go into the store and find out what that store is all about. Amen. Have you ever gone into a place and you thought it was one thing and it was another and it didn't have anything you was looking for? Well, you should have done some research and found out what that store had and what it was about and what its trade was. Amen. Well, if we're going to operate in the blessings and the giftings and the things of the Holy Spirit, the first thing we need to do is be introduced to the Holy Spirit and know what he's about and what he's come to do for us. Amen? See, a lot of people, or you know, I believe there are a lot of them just like I was. I remember, you know, whenever I first got saved, I you know, about all I'd heard was God. And then, you know, I got into church and found out, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And so I heard about Father and Jesus. And then somebody came along and said, you know, the Holy Ghost. And I said, the Holy what? And then they said, well, it's the Holy Spirit. I said, well, make up your mind. Is he the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? Because King James has both of them. Amen. Well, it doesn't matter. They're both the same words. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. And he's the third person of the Godhead. Hallelujah. And I began to understand that you know what? The Holy Spirit is in operation and everything is going on in the church today. I found that in Acts chapter 2, it was the Holy Spirit that was poured out into the upper room. And it was the Holy Spirit that came upon those disciples. And it was the Holy Spirit that filled them with power. And it was the Holy Spirit that emboldened them to do the works of God. Then I got to reading back over in Luke and found out it was the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus and empowered him and anointed him and gave him the strength to go and do the works. And Jesus himself said, I don't do anything of my own strength. I'm doing it by the Spirit of God and through the power of God the Father. Amen. In other words, the Lord Jesus laid aside his glory and received the Holy Spirit. And John 3:34 says he received the Spirit without measure. So the Holy Ghost came on him when he was baptized in the River Jordan, came up out. The Holy Spirit came down upon him and received the fullness of the Spirit. And Jesus then tells the people that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach, heal, deliver, and set captives free. Amen. Then thank God now Jesus is talking to us through the Gospel of John, and he's saying this same Holy Ghost, this same Spirit, this same anointer is now going to come upon you who really love me, who really want to obey my commands and change your life and follow me and do my will. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and he's going to come in my behalf, and he's going to be there teaching you, guiding you, directing you just like he did for me. So we need to get to know the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You need to know him personally. You need to know how he leads and how he guides. In John chapter 16, verse 7, listen to what the Lord says. He says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Wait a minute. How in the world could it be better for us with Jesus not here? Boy, that doesn't sound right, does it? I mean, how can it be more profitable for me if Jesus is in heaven instead of down here in the service with me this morning? How can it be good and expedient and advantageous for me if he goes away? Well, he tells you the very next statement. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. In other words, through the very words of the Lord Jesus himself, he's saying, you will be much better off when I'm seated at the right hand of God, because when I'm seated at the right hand in the throne room on the power of God, I'll send the Holy Ghost who's been in me and upon me, and he'll come and be in you and upon you, and it'll be better because he'll do for you what he's been doing for me. Hallelujah. We're living in that age, folks. We're living in the time that the Lord said it's better. Hallelujah. But it's not going to be better if we don't take advantage of the helper. Amen? I mean, it would be just like, you know, I'm standing here and I say, you know, I need some helpers. So maybe I could get Tom and Billy and, you know, and maybe Pat. I think three of you plus me can probably do it. And I say, y'all come up here and help me move this podium. And they come up here and stand, and I just take and drag it across the floor. When they get done, I look around and say, well, I didn't really need much help. I mean, you know, apparently y'all don't do much. See me up here dragging this all the way across and just stood there and watched. No, I didn't take advantage of their help. They were there to help me, but I tried to do it all myself. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. We've got the Holy Ghost here to help us, and we're trying to live for God in our own strength, do it our own self. Pray our own way. Get it done our own way. But you know, the Holy Spirit has come to take hold together with us with these things and lead us and guide us and teach us and work with us just like he did the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now let's read on down. Jesus said it would be better. Let's drop on down here and let's look in verse 12. Look what he says. I have still many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. Notice that. He says without the help of the Holy Spirit, the Lord has a lot of things He's wanting to give to you and tell you and teach you. But He says you'll never understand them and you'll never be able to grasp them and they'll never become reality to you unless you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Why? Because He's here to teach us and to bring us into the truth. He's the revelator, hallelujah, of God's will. And so a lot of us, the reason we're not understanding God's will, we're not understanding His word, we're not grasping His strength, we're not grasping within our lives His anointing upon us and the ability to get through the problem is because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us the way He was sent to work. And so He says, there are many things I want to tell you, but you can't grasp them now. They won't mean anything to you because you need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. In fact, He goes on and He says this, verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, now listen to this, listen to what He said He will do. He will guide you in all the truth, the whole full truth, for He will not speak on His own message, on His own authority, but He will tell you whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Woo, glory to God. I don't know if that turns your clock, but it winds mine tight. Hallelujah. Amen. Sets the alarm and tells me when to get up. Listen to what He's saying. He's saying there are things you can't know and you can't understand, but when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, the truth-giving Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes, He will guide you in all truth. And then He says He's not going to talk on His own accord. One thing you're going to learn over the next several services is this. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to glorify Himself. He doesn't come to glorify you. He comes to glorify the Lord. He comes to bring glory to God. He comes to release the will of God and the plans of God and the purposes of God and the revelations of God. Amen. And notice that He says He'll not speak on His own accord. In other words, the Holy Ghost won't talk to you unless He's heard something from the throne room. Do you understand the only part of God that's on the earth today is the Holy Spirit? Now don't look at me in that denominational tone of voice. Absolutely. The Father and the Son are seated in heaven. The Father's always been on the throne, and the Lord Jesus Christ was ascended up and is seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of authority and power. Amen. Remember Stephen, when they was about to stone him, he looked up and saw the Lord seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Father and the Son are seated on the throne in heaven. Praise God. But the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, and He's on the earth. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is here, and He's listening in on the conversation in heaven. And whenever He hears something from the Father, He's ready to come and tell you what the Father's will is and how to deal with that and how to walk in that and how to flow in that, praise God. Are you listening to me? He'll also tell you things to come, get you ready for something that's going to happen in the future, praise the Lord. In the mornings when I get up, I go through these scriptures and I pray and thank God for a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, that today I receive You teaching me everything I need to be taught. In fact, whatever the Father wants me to do today, just go ahead and tell me. I just go ahead and hear it right now. I'll let You talk to me right now. And Lord, if there's something coming up in the future that I need to get ready for, You said You'd announce to me things that are going to come. Come on, folks, if we'll learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, the devil won't be able to sneak up on us. Amen. The Holy Ghost will show us where He's at. He'll show us the attacks that are going to come and show us so we can be ready when they show up. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and said, if we live in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We have to walk. He wrote to the Galatians, said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What's that mean? That means let the Holy Ghost have action in your life. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to trust God. Learn to trust yourself to hear Him. Somebody says, how do I know if it's the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God always works on the inside out. The devil works on the outside in. What do you mean? Something down on the inside. Moving on the inside. That's where God lives. He lives on the inside of us, down in our spirit, praise God. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of us, and He begins to show us things on the inside. Look down here as we continue to read on. He says this in verse 14. He, the Holy Spirit, will honor and glorify me. See, that's the reason the Holy Spirit is here, is to glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should I want the Holy Spirit operating in my life? Because it ought to be my goal to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus also. Oh, come on, give me a good amen. See, I'm preaching right now to those who love the Lord, who really love the Lord, who desire to obey His commandments and do His will and change their lives. Amen? If you don't want to really love the Lord, don't really want to obey His commands and really live His life and go in His direction, just do your laundry list right now until we're done. Praise God. Because you see, I'm preaching to people right now that are tired of the lukewarm, backslidden condition of the church. And I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church in America. And we're tired of hearing all the devil's doing and tired of not having any power and tired of walking around being beat up everywhere we go and never saying anything, not having a voice. I'm talking to a people saying, that's enough is enough. And I'm ready for a move of God. And that move of God starts with me. And it starts on the inside of me. And it starts with me being aware of and having a revelation of the Spirit of God living in my life. And we can't have a move of God without the Spirit of God, because you can't glorify the Lord without Him. Amen. He said He will glorify me. How's He going to do it? Because He will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Oh, come on, somebody, that's shouting time. Woo! He said He will receive of, take of, and draw upon that which is mine. And then look what He says. And He will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Well, what is the Lord's? The next verse. Everything that the Father has is mine. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's God's will, then let the Holy Ghost show you. Because everything the Father has been granted to the Son, and everything the Son now has, the Holy Ghost has been sent to reveal to us so that we can operate in the full benefits and the blessings of being a Christian. Hallelujah. What's the Holy Spirit come to do? Show you your rights. Show you your privileges. Show you what it means to be a new creation. To show you how to walk in and live in the victory of Christ. How to walk in the things of God. How to apply the promises of God in your life and be victorious and let everybody see that Jesus is your Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. It's time to quit fighting this thing in our own strength. And it's time we start fighting it in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What did John say to those in 1 John chapter 4? He starts talking about demons and he starts talking about false spirits and false doctrines and all the stuff that's going on in the world. But then he says, but you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. What's he saying? He's saying in 1 John 4:4, it don't matter what the devil doing. It doesn't matter what the demons are doing. It doesn't matter what false doctrine is doing, because you are of God and God has already made you an overcomer. He's already purchased you with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already set you free and redeemed you. And not only that, He poured the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And the Holy Ghost in you is greater than the devil that's against you. And if you'll learn to listen to the Holy Ghost and walk in the Holy Ghost, you'll overcome every devil, every demon, and every attack of the enemy and walk in victory in this life. Hallelujah. Come on, you've got to get a hold of this. And the Holy Ghost is the one who's going to show you what you need to do in the midst of that battle. He's the one who's going to show you that you're healed whenever sickness is attacking your body. He's the one who's going to show you that God supplies your need when the bills are stacking up. He's the one who's going to show you that you have strength when you feel weak. He's the one who's going to show you that you're smarter than the devil when the devil's telling you you're dumb. He's the one who tells you you've already been delivered when the enemy tries to pull you back into your bondage. He's the one who's going to show you you're more than a conqueror when the devil says you're too weak. He's the one who's going to put you over when everybody says you're going under. Come on, church. You've got to grab a hold of this and say, Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I yield myself to you. I'm going to grow in you, Holy Spirit. Why? Because I love Jesus. And I believe everybody in here loves Jesus. I believe you want to love Him more. Hallelujah. And to love Him and to walk with Him, you have to choose, Lord, I'm going to obey Your commandments. And how many of you found out in your own strength and your own ability, it's hard to obey the commandments of God?
Come on, your flesh is fighting you all the time. The enemy's attacking your mind, trying to get you not do what God's wanting you to do. But I'm telling you, folks, we have a secret weapon against the devil. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be secret after these next few services, because I'm going to expose him. His name is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he's been sent in behalf of the Lord Jesus to act on the Lord's behalf. Listen, do you think that you could win a victory over the devil if Jesus was standing there coaching you and showing you what to do and giving you the power to do it? Yes, Pastor, I believe I could do it. The Holy Ghost is doing the same thing Jesus would do if he was here. Hallelujah. And he's the greater one. You've got a friend in Jesus, and you've got a helper in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And you and I need to yield to him and receive him, because we want to live this life. We want to walk in this life. We want to flow in this life that Christ has provided for us. We want to take advantage of all that Jesus has provided in the new creation. Amen? But we don't stop there. Praise God. Look in Acts chapter 1. Once again, we're reading in the Amplified translation of the Bible. Listen to what the Lord Jesus, this is after his crucifixion and burial and resurrection. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples before his ascension and seating at the right hand of the Father. This is his last words. He told him in verses 4 and 5 to tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. But then in Acts 1:8, he tells them what that power is. But you shall receive power. Ooh, glory to God. But the Amplified brings it out a little bit more clear. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. Well, when am I going to receive that? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, the Holy Spirit's my helper. He's my teacher. He's my guide. He's my remembrancer. He's there to help me to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ and live for Jesus in my personal life. But he's also the one who brings the power, the ability, the efficiency, and might upon me. And why does he do that? And you shall be my witnesses. Because there's two parts to Christianity. The first part is you giving your life to Jesus Christ and you living a holy life and you obeying the commandments of God and you honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and you consecrating yourself to him every day for his glory in your life. But the second part of Christianity is you taking that which Christ has done for you and sharing it with somebody else. And you see, right now, folks, this is the thing. If we have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us, helping us to obey Christ in our personal life, and we are passionate about living for Jesus, then the second part of Christianity becomes a natural, because we want to share with others what Christ has done for us. Hallelujah. The word witness there means one who can produce evidence and proof. In other words, I need the Holy Spirit operating in my life so that there's a change that's taking place in my life. Now listen to me. Listen. So you don't start condemning yourself. You're never going to get perfect on this side of heaven. I wish you could. I've only known two perfect people in my life, and I'm not sure about the other one yet. But anyway, great. But we are to strive for that perfection. We are to seek that perfection. We're to grow in that. We're not to live a compromised mentality or attitude. We're to live a striving attitude to be the best we can be. Amen? And the Holy Spirit has come to help us in our walk with Christ, to grow in those things of God and to develop the character of God and live the benefits of Christ and to live the redemption that Jesus has purchased for us. But then the Holy Spirit says, now, I don't want you to be selfish with this. I want to come upon you. See, in John, he said he'd come in you. But now he's saying, I want to come upon you. There's a second experience here that he's talking about. He says, now then, I don't only want to come into you and be your helper and teacher. I want to come upon you and empower you to go do the things that Jesus did too. I want to give you the ability to share with others. I want to give you the might to stand strong when they tell you, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. See, a lot of us, the reason we don't witness, invite people to church is because we're hearing all this garbage on the news, how this country's backslid and how everybody's turning to Antichrist and everything else, and we're afraid to go out and tell anybody. So you know what you need? You need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost coming upon you to give you enough power to stand there and say, you can laugh at me, you can mock me, you can call me names, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your answer, and I'm going to believe God for you, and I'm going to continue to stand. I don't care whether you laugh, mock, or cuss. I know who I know. I live what I live, and Jesus is my Lord. I know what He's done for me, and what He's done for me, He can do for you. I encourage you to come, but you need the power of the Holy Ghost operating in and upon you to do that. The Holy Ghost is your boldness. The Holy Ghost is your ability to do that. The Holy Ghost is the one who gives you the strength to be able to stand there and overcome your flesh and overcome your fear and overcome your intimidation and step out and say, but I've got an answer for you. And His name is Jesus. Remember in Acts chapter 4, whenever Peter and John had been, you know, in Acts 3, they got the lame man healed. And then, you know, they got put in jail, in a religious jail. That's probably worse than a regular jail. But anyway, they got put in the religious jail. And the next day, you know, the Sadducees, they come out. And they were, you know, they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. That's why they're sad, you see. Amen. But anyway. Huh? And so therefore they come out and they threaten them and they said, don't preach anymore this resurrection in the name of this Lord Jesus. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came upon Peter and he boldly stood up and began to tell him, should we obey God or you? We're going to obey God. Hallelujah. In other words, the power to stand there in the face of them being threatened and attacked came upon Peter through the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we elevate the Apostle Peter and all the apostles to this supernatural sainthood place that they walked around in the glory of God. Let me tell you what, folks. They were fishermen. They were regular people. They were untrained and untaught. They were just people. People had surrendered their lives to Jesus, who loved Jesus with all their heart, who were all in and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they needed to say something, they believed for God to pour the Spirit of God upon them and the Holy Ghost to be their power and their source. Hallelujah. And folks, just like you and me, we're just plain old tri-state, West Virginia, hillbillies, Ohio Buckeyes, and Kentucky cats. But I'm telling you what, we are anointed by the Spirit of God, and we have the power of God, and you can stand up and bring people to Jesus Christ, not in your own strength, not in your own power, not in your own might, but in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you shall receive power. Power to do what? To be a witness to others when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. Now let's look in Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Look what he says in verses 38 and 39. This is Peter's response. Once again, the Amplified translation. This is Peter's response. See, he preached after they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They went out and started preaching to everybody. And so after he got through preaching about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the multitude came to him and said, what do we need to do? How do we get this? And so verses 38 and 39 is his answer to the question, what do I need to do? So he says this, and Peter answered them. Here's your first thing. Repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves, in your heart, instead of rejecting it. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and the release from your sins. What's the first thing he said you do? He said, number one, you need to get born again. You need to have an experience with God. You need to repent, change your views. I don't know about you, but I have a different view about the world. I have a different opinion about the world. Are you listening to me? I see people as potential kingdom dwellers. Potential salvation, potential healings, potential deliverances, potential champions for God. I see the world that as a place that God loved and He sent His Son to die for. I don't see people through hatred eyes. I don't see the world through a sinful eye. I don't see the nation as a divided nation. I hear all of that, but I want to tell you what I see. I see God's love being poured out and His Spirit waiting to move and multitudes in the valley of decision that need somebody to live this life and be bold and care enough and passion enough to go out and tell them Jesus is your answer to get out of the dilemma you're in. You have to change your view. You can't live a sinner life. You can't live a drug life, an alcohol life, a rebellious life, an adulterous life. You cannot live out here in sin and go to God. You have to change directions. And to repent means you change your views about things. I don't see myself as better than somebody else. I see myself as born again, child of God, washed in the blood, so thankful for His grace and mercy. I get the privilege of preaching His gospel and many places and encouraging ministers. And when I get done, there are times I just get by myself and just tear up and say, Lord, thank You for letting me share Your message with these people. What an honor, Lord, to share Your message of love and salvation and healing and deliverance and Your goodness. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege it is of mine to be able to stand up for You, Jesus, and tell people about You. See, our purpose is not to get people to fall in love with us. Our purpose is to get people to fall in love with Jesus. See, like Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for his son, Isaac. His servant takes all the stuff that Abraham has. I mean, he took his camels and his goods and his riches, and he goes across seeking to find somebody. But he's not finding somebody who's going to fall in love with him. He's trying to find somebody that will fall in love with Isaac. And you know what this servant does? He finds Rebecca. Wasn't that right? Wasn't her name? Rebecca? Isaac and Rebecca? Remember that? Remember the story? Huh? Anybody here read your Old Testament? Amen? You know what he does? He finds her. And he starts talking to her, but he didn't talk about himself. He didn't talk about his trip across the desert. He didn't talk about how, you know, he starts talking to her and sharing with her about this young man. And you know what? She agrees, sight unseen, to follow him back to where Abraham and Isaac are. You ever read that? She comes sight, why? And when she looks out, she sees a young man. She goes, who's that? And he goes, that's him. She goes, I knew it was him. And then she was so in love, so infatuated, so wanting to meet this man that she'd never seen, never talked to. She was in love with him before she ever got to him. Because this man went out with all of his master's goods, the one he was serving, and share with her the goodness and what would happen in her life. And she fell in love with Jesus. Amen. Isaac was a forerunner and a type and a shadow of Jesus. And he was a forerunner and a type and shadow of us. Going with all of our Lord's goods, all of His grace, all of His mercy, all of His things that He has given to us. And going out to a world and having them to fall in love with our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. So that they want to come and be a part of His kingdom. And walk with Him. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us that power to get it done. But it starts with us first. I have to repent. I need to repent. I have to give my heart to Christ. I have to change my views. I have to change my purposes. I have to change my life. And I do that not by my strength or power, but by the help of the Holy Spirit. Because, you see, Paul writing to Titus said this. He said, you're not saved by your own works of goodness and whatever. He says, but by the washing and the renewing and the regenerating of the Holy Spirit. Operating in your life. God does a mighty work. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said, except you be born again, born of the Spirit, you can't see the kingdom of God. I have to have the Holy Spirit come and take the old heart out and put a new heart in and change me and make me a child of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. But then there's a second thing he says you need to do. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to Himself. What's the second thing? He says, there's a gift of the Holy Spirit you and I can receive. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon me. See, there are two works of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life. There's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings you to Jesus and brings you out of sin and changes your life and makes you a new creation. Then there's the work of the Holy Spirit coming upon you to give you power to go be a witness for Jesus Christ. Many of us are only halfway through the plan of God. Many of us have been born of the Spirit. And we've had an experience with the Holy Spirit bringing us into the new birth, but we've never come to God and received the infilling or the fullness of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Now, here's the thing. Same Holy Spirit, two different experiences. The Holy Spirit doing two different works in and with us. One is for us to get us born again and bring us into a relationship with Jesus. The other is to empower us to take that relationship out and share it with others.
And we need both experiences. Amen? Now, quickly, I want you to look in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to show you here the biblical example that every one of us need to follow. This is in Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 4. And look what he says. He said, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. This is when great persecution came to the church. And notice that everywhere they went, if they were run out, they went out preaching. They didn't go out with their tails tucked and their heads down and their backs arched in defeat. No, whenever they came in and scattered them out of Jerusalem, they just said, okay, we'll just go everywhere. We'll just spread this everywhere we go. They didn't go into a community and become that community. They went into that community and changed the community. Because they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And look what happens. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. See, if we're going to preach anything, we're going to preach Christ to people. Don't just preach your church. Just don't preach your experience. Preach Christ. We have to get people to fall in love with Jesus. Amen? And look what he says. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and the lame was healed, and there was great joy in that city. I mean, tell you what, when you start getting people to Jesus Christ, things will happen in their lives. Amen? I mean, they're getting delivered. They're getting set free, and joy is coming in their lives. Why? Because Jesus is the foundation of all joy. Amen? You can't have any real joy without Christ. And so these people are getting delivered, set free, made whole through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look in verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the gospel, notice that. Look at that. As they heard the things of the concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Well, let me ask you a question. They believed the things that Philip preached concerning the kingdom of God, and they were baptized. Were they saved? Were these people born again? Were these people children of God now? Well, let's let the Word answer us. What about the Lord Jesus? What about Mark 16, verses 15 and 16? Are they saved, Jesus? Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoa, so according to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved, amen? Because they believed and they're baptized. Well, let's get a second opinion. How about the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 1:23, who being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, even by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So according to Peter, they're born again. They're saved. Why? Because they received and believed the word. So anybody here want to dispute the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Peter? If you do, you get on that side. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to be real close to you. I'm going to side in with Jesus and Peter. Amen. I'm going to listen to what my Lord says. He said, if I believe and am baptized, and Peter says, if I receive the word according to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter, these people were born again. They've been born of the Spirit. They're children of God. Amen. But now look what happens here in verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. See, they heard they received the word. How do you get born again? By believing on the word of God and making Jesus your Lord. What happens when you get born again? The Spirit of God comes into your heart and changes you and transforms you, and he becomes your helper. Amen? But now listen. Let's look at the next part. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them, what? That they might receive the Holy Spirit. I thought you said they was born again. They are. Well, why would the apostles send Peter and John down to them to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit? See, a lot of us are taught when you're born again, you got all the Holy Spirit you can get. But apparently the apostles at Jerusalem thought they could have more. Apparently their doctrine was different than a lot of modern day doctrine. Because when they heard that they had been born again, baptized in water, and had a spiritual experience with God, they sent Peter and John down, and they prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at the next verse, and I'll show you where it makes sense. For as yet he, the Holy Spirit, had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. One part was the part that the Lord said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, obey me, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to do a work in your spirit. He's going to change you and bring you into the kingdom of God. He's going to take the old heart out, put a new heart in. The Holy Spirit's going to do the work of the new birth in you. But in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, now that you're saved, you need to be a witness. And so to be a witness, you need the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Remember that? And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Notice one is coming in you, one is coming upon you. Amen? And here we find that the disciples don't want to leave them just in a place where they have the Holy Spirit in them. They want the Holy Spirit upon them. They not only want them to experience the Holy Spirit in the new birth, they want them to experience the Holy Spirit in the baptism or the infilling of the Spirit of God. Somebody says, well, yeah, Pastor, but it says they received the Holy Spirit, but doesn't say anything about them speaking in tongues. You know, in Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Somebody says, they don't say anything about speaking in tongues. Well, actually, if you go down and do a little bit of research, you'll find out that it does. Because Simon the sorcerer, you know, he got all bent out of shape, and, you know, he tried to talk to him, you know, offer Peter money so he could get the gift of laying hands on people. Wasn't trying to buy the Holy Ghost. He's trying to buy the ability to get people filled with the Holy Ghost because he wanted to be something. And Peter said, your heart ain't right. Your money perishes with you. You don't have any part in it. He said, you need to repent big time, boy. Amen. And so Peter looked at him down here, and now pick it up here in verse 21. He says, you have neither part nor portion in this matter. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. That word matter in the Greek is also translated utterance. Hallelujah. Because see, whenever they laid hands on these believers, Simon saw something take place. Well, what did he see? Somebody said, they saw him full of joy. No, it says they're already full of joy. We saw him get healed. No, it says they already healed. Well, what did he see? He saw them lift up utterance. What did he see? I believe he saw the same thing you see everywhere else in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit of God gave them the utterance. In Acts chapter 10, while Peter's preaching in Cornelius' house, the Bible says, and while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision were astonished. Many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Notice the Holy Ghost came upon them. And here in Acts 8, Peter says that the Spirit of God hadn't came upon them yet. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 19, Paul, passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, came and found certain believers. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we haven't heard anything about the Holy Ghost yet. And he said, then what baptism were you baptized of? And they said, John's baptism. He said, well, John baptized with baptism of repentance, but there comes Christ Jesus who fulfilled all that, and now you can be born again. Hallelujah. And he preached the gospel to them, and he says, he took them down and baptized them in water. Then he laid his hands upon them that the Holy Ghost would come upon them, and they all received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. See, speaking in tongues is a spiritual evidence of a physical evidence of a spiritual experience. Amen. Are you listening to me? Speaking in tongues is a physical outward evidence of a spiritual inward experience that you just had with God. And every born-again believer should be filled with the Spirit. But more than that, you should receive a prayer language. More than that, you should receive boldness and power. More than that, you should be stirred and anointed by God with a passion to go out and share Jesus with as many people as you can. And somebody says, but what if I go share Jesus and they don't want to have it? Jesus said, if they reject you, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next person. Amen. You want to make Jesus your Lord? No, I don't want anything to. Okay, fine. You going to stop there? Yeah, if you want to go to hell, I can't stop you. Day you decide you want to quit living under the devil's dominion and under sin and in darkness, and the day you want to come out of bondage, the day you want your life changed, come talk to me because I know the man who can do it. Hallelujah. Yes, and see, that's why I need the Holy Spirit, so that I don't get discouraged if I talk to somebody and they reject it.
Don't show your hand, but has anybody here? I mean, first time I decided I was going to witness somebody, I got cussed out. Yeah. Friend of mine was doing this I Found It campaign back in the 70s, and you'd go on the line, you'd make cold calls, and you'd call somebody, and you'd start telling them, I found it, and they said, what'd you find? And you said, well, I found Jesus, and he's my Lord, and I can share with you how you can find it, too. And, it, you know, it was a cute little thing. It didn't last very long, but, you know, and so they're calling people up, and so he says, oh, go ahead and do it. I said, if I want to do that. He said, go ahead, you can do it. So I got on the phone and I said, hello, I found it. I said, what do you find? I said, I found Jesus. Blank. I don't hear no blank, blank. No, don't call me anymore. Got it. Bye. And they hang up on me. And he said, what'd you do? I left. Hallelujah. That was the last I Found It call I ever made. Praise God. Because I found out there was a better way. Hallelujah. And the better way is to live this life and let the Holy Spirit be upon you to lead you to who you should be talking to, and opening the doors for you instead of you just trying to make it happen yourself. Amen. And that's why I needed the Holy Spirit not only in me so I could live for God, but the Holy Spirit upon me so He would lead me and show me who I was supposed to go witness to. Listen to me, folks. When I was on college campus, you know what I'd do? After I could feel the Holy Spirit, I found this Christian bookstore, and they had tracts, and I would go get tracts. And I would go over where the gym was on the campus at East Tennessee. It was a walkthrough, and a lot of people would go to classes on the other side. Instead of going all the way around the building, they cut through. So I would go there and stand in the hallway, and I would have three or four tracts, and I would pray, and I would wait, and I said, Lord, show me who I'm supposed to witness to today. And you know, there was a place I would say, Lord, have them stop right there and let me know. And you know, somebody would stop and my heart would start pounding and the Holy Spirit say, just that unction, go. And you know what? I'd walk over to them. I'd say, hey, how you doing? Good. I say, listen, I got a little track. Can I hand this to you? They say, yeah, what is it? And I say, well, it's a little something about changing your life. Changing my life how? Well, you know, let me tell you. You know, I was in a mess, but I gave my heart to Jesus, and He's really changed my life. And this little track really talks to you about how Christ can come in your life. I don't know. Do you know Jesus is your Lord? And we go from there. And you know, there were so many people my senior year after I got filled with the Holy Spirit and serving God that the Lord just led. I'd either pray with them or sow seed to them or about to bring them in. And you know what? They were all divine appointments because the Holy Spirit was upon me, leading me to who I need to go to. Folks, we need to be born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. You need to have that operation in your life today. And you know what? It's for all of us. Amen. For the gift and the promise is to you and to your children and all that are near and all that are far off. You know what God's will is? His will is for every mom and dad and son and daughter to be full of the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it? What kind of a great place would it be in your home is if everybody got together, parents and children, and took a time and prayed in the Spirit and worshiped Jesus and magnified the Lord in your house. Hallelujah. You can have that in your home. You can have that. It's yours. Jesus paid the price so you can have it. And what a friend. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit has been there when nobody else was. He's been my strength in my weakest moment. He's been my encourager whenever I felt like quitting. Pastor, I mean, you felt like quitting many times. But I'm still here. And it's not by my might nor by my power that I'm still here, but it's by His Spirit that I'm here. God has sent the Holy Ghost to help us. Amen? And we need that experience every day of our life. He's a friend that will stick those notes to what Jesus said, and you'll receive another helper, and He will abide or live with you forever. Amen?